Warning, the Catholic Man Show is about to begin. If you're looking for a dull, feel-good religion, or clap your hands, sit around the campfire, kumbaya, you've come to the wrong place. We are dealing with toxic levels of authentic masculinity. I would say good luck, but luck is for pagans.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here not in studio this evening, but with my fellow co-host David Niles.
Hello.
How'd you like that intro?
I thought it was pretty awesome.
It's pretty epic.
Luck is for pagans.
Luck is for pagans.
Silly pagans.
We are not, like I said, we're not in studio this evening, but we do have a special guest with us. We have, do we have a nickname for him?
Well, I was thinking about this on the way here. If you're the tongue,
yeah,
what does that make Father Brian Ketterer?
The palate?
It'd be like, if the tongue had a tongue.
This is what you think about while you drive?
Sometimes. It gets kind of weird.
I was riding with him.
I'm ready for autonomous vehicles.
Yes, so we do have Father Brian Ketterer with us, our good friend. He's been on the show before. We say all this because Father Brian, we've mentioned this on the show many of times, but Father Brian is a guy who knows... Not only knows, but understands beer.
It's almost like he's intimate with beer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
that's something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's accurate. So, Father Brian, where are we? We're not in the studio. Where are we this evening?
We are out at the Ritchie Coop. So we have a group of our men from the University of Tulsa out here tonight. The idea is we're actually recording on Friday of the Octave of Easter. And what do you do on Friday of the Octave of Easter but eat meat? So we came out to...
And we ate a lot of it.
We had steak, we had bratwurst, and we had grilled bacon.
And that's it.
Didn't know that was a thing, but it is now, and it actually worked.
We ate nothing but meat, actually.
I had a couple handfuls of chips.
Okay. Well, I don't count that.
But
and we're out here...
basically just meat.
Out here smoking cigars.
That's right.
Are you smoking? You're smoking a cigar as well.
I'm smoking a cigar. I was just blowing smoke rings a minute ago.
Yeah, I'm smoking a Rocky Patel 2008.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I've had that one before.
It's the autumn collection.
I'm smoking a Cohiba Habana Cuba cigar.
Yeah, so you have a Cuban.
I've been saving this since the summer, so I think it's a good time to smoke it.
That is pretty nice.
I'm doing a Romeo 1875 Reserve.
So, okay. Wow. 1875. Man, I thought my 2008 was old. You're smoking an 1875.
Only the best for me.
Yeah.
You're apparently. Welcome.
If this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, we do three things every episode. The first thing we do is open, review, and enjoy a man beverage. We highlight the virtue of moderation and temperance, as you should in doing all things except for sinning. I think that's probably a good disclaimer.
Don't sin in moderation.
Don't sin in moderation.
Well, or do sin in moderation, but
moderation looks different.
Yeah, for different things.
Right.
Moderation is different for different people and for different things. So the moderate level of sin is zero.
Yes.
And the moderation for alcohol depends on who you are.
Is medium. Yeah.
thankfully for us, it's more than zero.
Yes.
Praise be Jesus.
So that's the first thing
we do. Less than 0.08, though.
If you drive.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, that's just if you're driving.
Maybe a good level anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good rule of thumb, I think.
True.
The second thing we do on the Catholic Man Show is we highlight a man gear. And in the last half of the show, we have just the most manly conversation ever since Jesus and the apostles.
Since Jesus, right.
Since Jesus and the apostles. Father Brian, since you know way more about beer than we do, I'll let you introduce the beer that we're having this evening.
Well, we have a beer here with us, a local beer from Tulsa, Oklahoma, as we open them.
From my favorite brewery.
American Solera.
With Treehouse.
Yes. Good job. I was going to say you, this beer actually
I got it right.
Should remind you of Treetop, Tree Farm, Treehouse, whatever you want to call that, that brewery.
I decided I'm going to start a brewery and call it Treetops.
Yes.
Just so that I can...
Get it right.
I can always be right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So American Solera was actually named, I think in 2016 that they were named the
probably one of the top breweries of the year in the U.S. I forget, top 10, top 100, top 25, top one. Top one in my heart.
Yeah. It's a delicious. Okay, so it's called Terpy Galaxy.
Terpy Galaxy. It's part of their Terpy IPA series, 8% hazy IPA, that New England style that's all the rage.
Yeah.
And each one features a different hop. So they've had Citra, they've had Simcoe, various ones. This one's Galaxy Hop, which is probably
one of... Wait. Are those different types of hops?
They are different types of hops.
Okay.
So they're different hops from all over the world. They give different flavors, different profiles, used in different beers. Galaxy Hop is one that tends to be used in IPAs or pale ale. It stands really well on its own, provides a nice, say almost like a pillowy kind of... really nice
pillowy
flavor.
I like that.
Not a lot of bitterness, but very floral, pillowy. Very aromatic.
Okay, so
it works great in this beer.
Let's cheers. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your can.
You bensim.
Or glass.
Yesu.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus. All right,
the resurrected Jesus.
He is risen.
He is risen.
Truly indeed. He is risen.
He is truly risen indeed, truly.
Indeed.
Indubitably.
Ooh, there we go.
Anesti.
We were talking about the three different possible responses, which are truly he is risen, indeed he is risen, or he is risen indeed. But indubitably he has risen. I think
That should be cut.
Let's petition the USCCB to
because that's something that they have time to.
Or we could just say
what else are they doing?
For show.
Yeah,
the Lord is risen.
For show.
Give us
your tasting notes, Father.
Oh yes. Let me taste again.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, very nice. Yeah, so it's that very New England style, haze for days, super hazy beer, unfiltered IPA.
Yeah.
Actually canned maybe yesterday. It went on sale today, so super fresh. Maybe even a little too fresh, some people might say.
Really?
These hazy IPAs.
How do you know?
Could it be?
So what? So today... What would it taste like tomorrow?
So the flavors just will mellow out a little bit the next couple of days. So the word people describe a New England style IPA that's too fresh is green. Has maybe a little bit of a sharp, sometimes a vegetal taste up front. Maybe has a little bit of that.
Vegetal? I need to put that in my word list. I have a word list.
Sounds like you need to put a lot more words in your word list.
It's not a very big list.
Like 2 years ago, people couldn't get an IPA fresh enough. It's like if it comes off the bottling line and they dry it and put it in a box, it's already too old. Like it has to be like super fresh. Now these hazy
super
IPAs
fresh.
Actually need a couple days. To really hit their stride, I think.
Okay.
But still, they need to be drank within a couple weeks.
I'm really glad you said this because I made a mistake last episode. If you guys were listening, I made a mistake. Dave, actually, you did too, but I won't bring up your mistake for the man gear.
I think I made mine on purpose just to like...
Counterbalance
right. I mean,
my mistake.
You made one, so I threw myself under the bus.
So my mistake
was...
display
of his humility.
Last week, I said that there were 9 Trappist beer breweries, official ones. That was true back in 2011.
Yes, we have a new one.
We actually have a couple new ones.
Oh, boy.
I'm wrong. There's a 12.
12.
So,
wow.
12 is a good number.
And I appreciate... Oh, man, I wish I should have looked his name up, but there was somebody who called me out on it, which I appreciate. His name is Randall Clure. He called me out on that. Oh, I'm sorry. 11. I said 12. 11. 6 in Belgium, 2 in Netherlands, 1 each in Italy, in Austria, and then the U.S.
So we still need one more.
So we need one more to make.
Yeah, I think we need one more
to round it out. But anyway, so I made that mistake. I have to correct myself. Actually, I didn't correct myself. Randall corrected me. But
yeah.
I wanted to make sure that was known. I feel a lot better about that.
But so for someone who's listening, because there's a lot of guys out there who say, I don't like IPAs. I think if they tried this IPA, they would be really surprised how different this is from, in what their mind, an IPA is.
Yeah.
Father, would you talk about the variety of the Indian pale ale?
Yeah, so traditionally most people think of a very bitter IPA.
Yeah.
A lot of IPAs, when I started drinking IPAs, I couldn't stand them because I thought they were way too bitter. Then gradually over time, just like coffee, you kind of acquire a bit of a taste for that. But the newer style IPAs have learned how to get the aromatics of the IPA, of the hop, without getting the bitterness. Part of that is there's two different acids that provide flavor in a hop, an alpha acid and a beta acid. The alpha acid provides the bitterness, so typically it's used, very high alpha content hops are used in the beginning in the boil process to give the bitterness to balance out all the sweet sugar. And then you get the alpha or the beta acids toward the end, maybe through dry hopping, which is late addition hopping, that gets a lot of aroma, but not a lot of bitterness. But with those dry hopped beers, the late addition hop beers, you really want to drink those fresh because the aromatics will drop off quickly. And when those drop off, you just have a big malty beer without any hop flavor.
Hmm. I'm a big fan of the Omega hops, I mean, personally.
Sure.
There's the alpha.
The alpha, the beta, and the omega. Yeah, that was omega. A weak joke.
Jesus is all of those. The alpha and the omega.
Oh, man. So when we get back, we're going to jump into the man gear. We're here today with Father Brian Ketterer. I'm Adam Minahan with David Niles. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show.
We are on the Lord's side, the Lord's team.
The winning side and team.
You know, it's really funny because when we first started, like the first 10 episodes or so, that was another thing I kept getting wrong.
It's driving me crazy.
Yeah, see, I remember listening to those episodes, and so now I'm confused.
It's an inside joke that you made on accident.
It drove me crazy. I had to literally, when we first were starting, this was the tagline that we used. I had to write it out on a whiteboard. Here's what we say. So that way, at the end of the break, I would show Dave to make sure he said it right.
I wouldn't look at it, though.
And he would admit he wouldn't do it right.
It's like the Apostles' Creed. You've prayed it a bazillion times. You have to pray it on your own. You don't remember the first words.
Right.
I can do the Apostles. I cannot do the Nicene Creed on my own.
I can usually do some combination of the two.
Combo.
When I say the Nicene, I mean the Nicene-Constantinopolitan Creed.
Yes, that's my favorite flavor of ice cream.
Of course, that's the creed that I'm referring to.
Is there any other creed that you were referring to when you say the Nicene?
I mean, no.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Father, before we jump into the man gear, I do have a question from the last episode. We had a quadruple ale.
A quadruple ale.
Uh-huh. And a quad.
Belgian quad.
Yes.
And I love, Father, I love them.
I love quads.
Through our ignorance, we weren't positive on what makes a quad a quad.
Well, I mean, there's official style guidelines, but I think those more or less formed later.
What are they doing four times?
Not really anything, as far as I know.
That's what I
want to
know, because there's a triple, and then there's a quadruple. I mean,
a double.
And a double, right. So it's like, okay, they've done it twice. It's like the Bach, and then there's the Doppelbach, mm-hmm. The double Bach.
Yep, that's more easy to tell. It's just doubled.
Okay,
but
so.
But the quadruple, as far as I know, it's just we gave it a name. So I think a lot of times places in Belgium, monasteries, whatnot, would brew a beer and it'd be like, this is the beer that we give out to people. And then we have our table beer. People would ask, what style is it? I don't know. It's our beer. It's what we make. And so because we have to have categories, we just assigned it a name, the quadruple and then a certain style, the triple and then a double. So a quadruple is generally higher ABV, more malt than a triple,
yeah,
which is a very different style, and more than a double,
so
which
they're
is
not even
similar.
Like, you know, progressions of the same thing.
Because Dave was wanting to know what like a centuple beer would taste like and why we haven't done that yet.
Well, it would probably be high ABV. There's actually, Avery did one called Five Monks. It'd basically be a pentuple, I guess. It's like 18% ABV, Asian whiskey barrels, super big and boozy beer, just playing off of that Belgian quadruple style. But
do you think we could pass a law that required all beer to be aged in bourbon barrels? Like,
I don't think you have to because everyone's aging everything in bourbon barrels.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, but like
even the wine.
We're aging IPAs. We're aging wine. We're aging everything in bourbon barrels.
Well, yeah. it's that's because it's
delicious.
It's the right thing to do.
It's the right. Yeah, it's delicious. That's why.
I mean,
okay. So let's get into the man gear. This is the segment where we highlight some kind of gear that every man wants, desires, needs for the everyday life. Dave, what's our man gear today?
Coffee maker.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
I just bought one last week.
You did? Which kind did you get?
Hamilton Beach something or other.
Does it have a pot? I think we have the same
coffee maker.
That's incredible. No. I have Hamilton Beach, no pot.
Yep.
That was weird.
12 cup?
Very weird.
No, mine's only six.
Okay, I just got rid of my six for a 12 cup.
Is it the same one that you got? It's just bigger?
Pretty much. It's very similar.
This is amazing. It's amazing.
I got rid of the six cup because the lid leaks and I was tired of it leaking.
They sell these at Walmart. This is not that like coincidental.
This is a wedding gift. I didn't even pick it out.
It's still not that amazing.
Wait, this is like...
you're just now getting a wedding gift?
No, I got it approximately 3.5 years ago, almost 4 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I have a Keurig. That's what I have. I have a Keurig.
Because you're so fancy and you're super Keurig over there.
Wow, one cup at a time. Way to not share.
No, that's not true. You can make a pot.
I like to pay way too much for my coffee.
No, you can make a pot. They have those little pods that you can put in there.
Yeah. Okay, they do have the thing. It's like the mesh insert where you can put any kind of coffee in there. Yeah,
When I make coffee, I don't make one cup.
Right.
I mean, I have a rule of thumb that I have to stop. Like, I force myself to stop drinking coffee at 11 a.m. Not because caffeine affects me that much. Like, oh no, I'm going to stay up all night long.
Just because you just live an ascetic lifestyle. Is that why?
No. Because I know that if I would become the all day coffee drinker.
Oh, I'm a big afternoon coffee guy.
He's an all day IPA drinker. Founders all day IPA. Yeah, he doesn't necessarily drink it all day, but he drinks all day IPA.
I do.
All day.
But I have to cut myself off at 11 because I end up having like 6 to 8 cups before 11 a.m. typically on weekdays.
See, the most I can fit in is about 3 cups in the morning. Just because I'm so busy working, I don't have time to keep going back to the break room. Yeah.
I drink about 1 cup and that's enough caffeine for a week.
Really?
Yep. I'm pretty sensitive to caffeine. That's actually why I had the 6-cup maker, because I would have a 6-cup maker and make 2 cups. But I was tired of it leaking. This new one, the 12 cups, but it has a 1-4 cup function, so I use that primarily.
Hmm.
I mean, in my last 4 days of owning it.
You clearly do not have narcolepsy.
No.
Dave does, and it's so much fun at night.
It's like a superpower, dude.
It's so much fun at night whenever you're at a party and you're in the middle of a conversation with you and all of a sudden you just...
You're still living in college right now.
No, I'm not.
In this moment.
No, I'm not. That's not true.
When was the last time we like partied?
I'm living in college.
Well, we're partying right now. Every week on the Catholic Mansion we party.
Okay, well we need to define our terms here.
My job is at a college, so I'm still living in college.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you are. Father, I'm sorry. I just called a priest dude.
It's all right. I'm a dude.
You are a dude.
Cheers to that.
Father dude.
What's your favorite type of coffee? Do you have one? You don't know.
Okay, so every now and then I'll have coffee where I say, "Wow, that's a nice cup of coffee." But I just haven't gotten into coffee enough where I know like, "Oh, I really like Egyptian coffee or, you know, whatever."
Right.
Like there are people out there who they go all in and they know like there's coffee from the Middle East, there's South American coffee.
You can just say Folgers. It's okay. We won't judge you.
I would.
That's like saying Bud Light.
I do not drink Folgers. If someone gave me a cup of Folgers, I would drink it. But I will say, when we went to Costa Rica for my honeymoon, the coffee down there blew my mind. It was just like, I think that if you didn't like coffee, you could go to this place and like the coffee.
I'm a big fan of Ethiopian coffee.
Ooh, yes.
That's what I'm saying. Egyptian, Ethiopian, whatever.
I'm a fan of Ethiopian coffee stouts.
Yeah, there are some. In fact, American Solera has one. The Cirque Dilemma.
Cirque Dilemma.
Yeah.
Can we just like give a shout out to Chase?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I want Father Brian to do it.
Oh. Cheers to Chase Healy for making great beers through multiple breweries over the year, to American Solera, of which I am member number 3. Not to brag.
What? The Trinitarian number?
Member number 3. I was going for 007 because it was like 001, 002, but I landed on member 003, which is Trinitarian, so can't complain. Cheers to
the
Trinity.
Epic.
To the Trinity. And to Chase, who, if there is such thing as a beer savant, he is, I think.
He knows how to brew.
And he lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
He started Prairie Ales.
Yeah, I mean,
If you know Prairie. Because Prairie is a little bit bigger than American Solera. So
I just think that it's further evidence from God that Tulsa, Oklahoma is the best place on the planet.
Beer-wise, it's getting there.
It is getting there.
Yeah, the people in Oregon and on the West Coast are like, oh, you guys don't know anything. It's like, shut up.
You just lost listeners.
That's okay. We started out the show with a warning, not advising people to listen.
Christian and Scott Sakamoto, I know that you're not the people that I was just talking about.
Right. Because they're in Washington anyway.
But they're on the West Coast. You know, I was talking about.
So I couldn't find it. I was like trying to look it up, but I couldn't find it. But I believe Archbishop Fulton Sheen, like somebody asked him about coffee before going into adoration and meditating, and Fulton J. Sheen was a big proponent of like, let them drink coffee so they can focus on meditation prayer early in the morning. And I got to tell you, when I go early in the morning for adoration, I have to make sure that I have a cup of coffee beforehand. Because I will be breaking my neck nodding in adoration, which is just completely embarrassing. Like, you know, there's several places that is extremely embarrassing to be, you know, just nodding, you know, business meetings. In front of our Lord, that's a big one.
He is more forgiving, though, than the business meeting. Especially like a one-on-one business meeting. Just me and the client.
Yeah, and you're just...
See,
I've never done that.
If the apostles...
Praise God.
If the apostles just had coffee after the Last Supper, maybe they could have stayed awake for an hour with Jesus.
Mm. So there is actually, I think we've mentioned this before, but there's actually a papal bull about coffee.
We were sticking it to the Muslims.
Yeah, so coffee around the time of the Crusades was known as a Muslim drink because the Muslims couldn't drink alcohol. And so there was a group of people who were trying to get the Holy Father to ban coffee. And so they took some to him and they said, you need to ban this. And he tried it and said, and he loved it so much, he said, we shall cheat Satan and baptize this drink and make it our own. And he wrote a papal bull saying it was okay to drink coffee.
Well done.
Yes.
So there you go. When we get back, we're going to jump into the man topic. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Here, just on the outskirts in Tulsa, hanging out with some guys from the Newman Center at Tulsa University with Father Brian Ketterer. We've been drinking an American Solera, the Terpy Galaxy. Just got done talking very briefly about the coffee maker.
Speaking of our location, if any of the Ritchie family, if any members of the Ritchie family can hear me right now, I would like to buy this piece of property. And build a house on it. So please sell it to me.
Yeah.
Do you want their cattle also?
I don't think
Jimmy... No, you can keep the cows.
I don't think Jimmy's going to do that. But Dave, right before we started, you were about to tell...
I think it's the whole family. It's not just Jimmy.
Yes, you're right.
Hey, Jimmy, put in a good word for me.
But Dave, right before we were starting to record, you're about to tell a story, which okay, I knew so, where you were going.
Well, there's a fine British gentleman here in the audience. His name's Gerald.
It's not David Bates.
It's not David Bates.
Who has...
But I feel like David Bates would really appreciate his company.
Yes.
Because Gerald is the catechist here at the TU Newman Center. I happen to be sitting... Yesterday was the Newman Center fundraiser. My wife and I were honored enough to be in attendance. Just in attendance.
Not as honored as we were to have you in attendance.
Oh, man, Father. Listen, he has a big enough head as is. There's no reason to feed his ego.
Well, it was because having Pamela in attendance...
Pamela was there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
She's an alum.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm
there
like...
You go.
You're the tag along. You know, kind of a...
Plus, you're the plus one.
I'm just kind of like a package deal.
Yeah, you're plus one.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So anyway, I'm sitting next to Gerald, and he's like, yeah, you know, we met each other.
Can you do his accent?
No.
Okay, I was hoping you were going to do his accent.
His accent is not that strong.
No, I mean, but I just wanted to hear you say it.
I'm not going to do it right now. I'll do it later.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, yeah, I'm David, and like, blah, 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 blah. And we started talking about the Catholic Man Show, and he's like, oh, what's that? And so I was telling him, like, well... This is what the Catholic, you know, this is what we do and blah, 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 blah,
blah. You
said
you haven't heard of the Catholic Man Show?
Well, you know, it's like...
That happens a lot. Most people haven't heard of the Catholic Man Show.
He's got a, you know, he's from Britain, you know, he's not from around here. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll tell him and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, for like 10 minutes, we're having this conversation. And then finally he looks over me and he's like, I'm just kidding. I know all about it. And like, I just wanted to mess with you. And like,
got you good.
You, sir.
Long live the queen.
Be careful talking to that guy. He does know his stuff, though.
He does. Okay, so anyway. why don't we broach so now, the topic? Let's broach the topic.
So this was, Father Kidder, it was your idea.
It was my idea.
For a topic, which I just really love. So the topic is maintaining spiritual discipline in Easter. Okay,
and during a feast.
You know, I was actually really glad that you mentioned this topic because here we are. At the time of this recording, we are still in the octave of Easter. Okay, so every day is a solemnity. There have been cookies at the office all week. And not just normal cookies. These are like huge cookies. The kind that they cut in half because just half of these cookies is bigger than a regular cookie. And I pass them and say, well, it's a solemnity. And I eat them. And, you know, one of the things I did for Lent was I gave up eating between meals. Okay, so now here I am in the octaves.
Not needing meals because he's eating between
right.
them.
And I'm just like, oh, well, you know, it's a solemnity, and like just gorging myself on cookies. And I've noticed that, okay, this is affecting my, you know, my willpower as well. So when you mentioned this topic, I thought I need to hear this.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it a little bit in the last couple of days. And actually what inspired me was I got a message from the boyfriend of one of my students. He's actually not Catholic, but he says, you know, traditionally
Fridays... You're talking about the boyfriend, not the student.
The boyfriend is not Catholic.
Okay.
He messaged me and said, hey, traditionally Friday is a day of fasting or penance. What are we supposed to do for these 7 or 8 weeks of Easter?
Okay.
And I was like, wow, that's a great question.
Yeah.
It's one that I don't know if I'm even like completely clear on, but I said, well, clearly today is a solemnity, so there's no fasting on a solemnity. But
it's
maybe
not proper.
Yeah, it's not proper to fast, and you shouldn't. Actually, I think we have an obligation to celebrate, to do something extra on a solemnity.
Yeah.
But I said, it's good to maintain some sort of that discipline, but maybe find a creative way, something that's less penitential. So a suggestion I made, I said, well, maybe instead of fasting on Friday, do an act of charity instead. Say, I'm going to take someone else out to eat or do something for them on Friday in place of me fasting. So, for example, today I bought donuts for my students to celebrate because it's a solemnity.
Right.
And it's not Lent. So go and eat some donuts. So instead of fasting, doing some other act to celebrate.
Okay, so I get during the octave.
Dude, you have so much cigar ash all over you.
That just happened. That's okay.
It's supposed to snow here in a couple hours in Oklahoma in
snowing
April.
Snowing ash on me right
snowing
now.
Snowing all over him. Mount Vesuvius on his jacket.
So this is. I'm in the rocking chair, and I think just like moving back and forth. Anyway, I get during this octave, you know, all, or on a solemnity. Occasionally, we get a solemnity on a Friday in Lent, like... St. Joseph.
Yes, those are the best.
Like occasionally falls on a Friday in Lent and it's like, all right.
That's the first thing I check when I get charcoal. A new calendar each year. I say, okay, March 19th, March 25th, do either fall on a Friday of Lent?
Yeah.
And if they do, it's rejoicing.
And the Easter season, I mean, the church has seasons. And Juan on the way here, or I was talking, I had lunch with Juan today. And one of the things he suggested is we talk about ordinary time on an episode. That's not what we're talking about today, but I do think that's a good idea. But I just mentioned that because the church has seasons and they're not the same. And, you know, they should affect, as Christians, if we are, you know, really going to live a Christian life, then the heart of the church should be our heart. And the seasons of the church, the liturgical seasons, should affect us. You know,
they should. Yeah.
We should live by them. Just in the same way we live by the seasons of the earth, where we in the winter we wear different clothes. You know, we should in the same way have an outward difference among the seasons. So during Easter, we are in a time of celebration.
It's true. There is a...
But with the Fridays, just to get back to your question, what do we do on Fridays that are not solemnities of Easter?
So that I actually... admit, I'm not completely certain of if we still have the obligation to abstain from meat. Because canon law says that all Fridays we should abstain from meat. Clearly on solemnities we're not required to. But it doesn't actually say if that's still something.
Maybe a good idea
during
would be,
Easter.
Would be to define what a solemnity is. There may be some people...
Yes. Oh,
like,
okay.
That's a good idea.
I think solemnity is a good idea. Like, that may be a Catholic word that a lot of people like... throw around, and maybe some people don't understand what it is.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So we have basically three tiers of liturgical celebration in the church. We have a ferial day, a typical day, typical mass day. We have a feast, which is a little bit of a higher celebration, where we sing the Gloria at mass, and you know celebrate a saint that the church wants to put more emphasis on. And then a solemnity is just pull out all the stops. A great day of celebration for the church.
It's like when the prodigal son returns.
Yeah, a number of solemnities are actually holy days of obligation. The church says these feasts are so important for us to celebrate, you're required to go to Mass to celebrate on those days. Mm-hmm. Of course, Sunday being the one we have every week.
Okay, okay. So there's memorials, feasts, and then
solemnities.
And then solemnities.
Yep.
And so, and every Sunday is actually a solemnity. Every Sunday, people forget about this. Every Sunday is the solemnity of Easter.
It is. Every Sunday is a mini Easter.
Which is why during Lent, you might hear some people say there's no, you give up what you, you know, the voluntary fast
you or give
the, you
up
know,
giving
the voluntary
up.
Penance that you take on during Lent, that it's wise or it's a good idea to not do that during on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's optional, of course, but it does. There's a good reason to not be doing whatever your thing is on Sunday.
Yeah, or at least I say if you're not going to, just go easy. So if you gave up sweets for Lent and you're going to have sweets on a Sunday, don't buy a whole pie and eat it. Have a little slice of pie and say, you know, I'm celebrating the resurrection that's to come. But it's still a season of Lent, so I'm not going to just gorge myself.
Yeah, so like my MO is, if I get, let's just say I give up alcohol for Lent. On Sunday, I'm not going to intentionally drink because it's Sunday. You know, I'm not going to go out of my way like, oh, it's Sunday, I have to do the thing I gave up. But if someone offers me a drink on Sunday, I'm not going to turn it down because it's Lent.
Yeah, so he just... text Adam and says, hey, Adam, offer me a drink.
Yeah, offer me a drink.
Please.
Bring me a cup. Bring me some beer.
Well, I can't turn it down.
Right.
Do you have any Lafroig?
Yeah.
Would you offer me some?
I wouldn't.
But you know what I mean? So there's a difference between like, oh, I gave up candy. I better eat all the candy I can today because it's Sunday. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just like be normal on a Sunday. Don't. Like, go out of your way just because it's what you gave up for Lent.
Yeah.
But it's not Lent anymore.
It's not. And in fact...
And now it's Easter.
We're talking about today being a solemnity. So the octave of Easter, so from the Sunday of Easter until the next Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday, each day is Easter. So it's 8 days of solemnities in a row. So we sing the Victime Paschali before the sequence, the Easter sequence before the gospel.
Is that the victim of Easter?
The Paschal victim. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the translation in English because I always sing
Paschal
it in
Latin. Paschal is Easter and yes. Victime is... Yeah, okay.
Yep, Paschal victim.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I'm glad.
So I was right.
You were right. We established that.
If you got anything from this segment, it's that Dave was correct.
Shocker.
Yeah. When we get back, we're going to continue talking about this. We're here with Father Brian Ketterer. We have some of the TU Newman Center guys with us today. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Sitting here with Adam Minahan and Father Brian Ketterer. We're talking about spiritual discipline here in Easter. We're sitting here smoking cigars, enjoying the fine product of a brewery called American Solera.
We were going to be enjoying the fine product of my own hands.
Yes.
Every year, the Newman Center, in the last several years, has brewed a beer for Easter. I brewed a Belgian wit with some help from students. They kind of helped clean the pots and stuff like that. I was the mastermind behind it all. Actually, it was the first beer I've ever brewed on my own, so I was a bit nervous. We brewed a Belgian wit, and the name I wittily came up with was...
I see what you did there.
Outwit the Devil.
Oh, I see what you did again. That is so witty.
So we brewed the beer, we bottled it, saved it for our Easter party after the Easter vigil.
Auctioned it off at your fundraiser.
We auctioned some off at the fundraiser as part of the package.
What did it bring?
Hard to say.
It was part of multiple different.
Okay.
It was a raffle. That was a raffle. But it had by far the most raffle tickets in it. Yeah.
Nice. And I saved two bottles for you guys to review on the show. I was going to bring them. I forgot.
That's okay.
You can have. But Easter is 50 days long, so I might still get them to you.
Yeah, I like to mention that Lent is 40 days, you know, and just so that nobody accuses Catholics of being, you know, all about, suffering and guilt and blah, 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 blah. No, we have a Lent that's 40, and then the celebration, Easter, is 50.
Mm-hmm. It is.
That's because life is good, and we know that as Catholics.
It is, and it gets better.
But it's important to have the fast before the feast. And there's a lot of...
You can't appreciate the feast without the fast.
That's right. I mean, and there's just so much wisdom, I think, in the liturgical calendar. Having this rhythm of life, you know...
The rhythm of life.
Yeah. I mean, but really, there is a cycle of... That life is so cyclical in this whole, you know, death and rebirth and mm-hmm. death and rebirth. And so for us to have that just ingrained into us... Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about Lent being, a season of death, how many of those does one go through in their life, you know, that is essentially preparing us for heaven? Mm-hmm. It should be anyway. I mean, and yeah. I hope that we all look at Lent with that in mind. That,
right.
You know,
yeah.
We start with the end in mind.
Yeah. Right. And as you said, it's important to have the fast before the feast. It's also important to have the feast after the fast.
Yes.
I was saying... you actually witness to the gospel by feasting during the season of Easter.
Mm-hmm.
You say that Christ is so good, that is why we feast. When people ask you why you feast, that's an opportunity to share the gospel.
Right,
so feast.
Yeah, so I'm glad you said that, Father, because I was sitting here thinking about, like, so we're talking about how to continue this feast and on a practical level as a man on an everyday atmosphere in the workplace, in your family life. We talk about all the time how we have to have this joy about us. We have to have something that separates ourselves from everybody else. That says, you know, even in Peter 3, First Peter 3, he talks about, you know, always defend the faith, and we always talk, you always hit that verse very hard, but you forget that it says right after, always be willing to defend the faith for the hope that's within you. So it's implying that you have to have this hope, this joy, this something within you that people recognize that says, okay, there's something different about you that where you're going to be able to defend whatever it is that we're talking about. So you have to be able to separate yourself from the normal people into you know, the everyday activities.
From the normal people.
From just, I guess, society.
From everyone else.
From everybody else. From everybody, yeah. From
those pagans.
Pagan, yeah. Luck is for pagans.
Pagans.
But I do think that it is very important as a man in the workplace, you have to be able to carry yourself in a way that somebody else says, you know what? Everybody's upset because this purchase order didn't go through correctly, or something didn't happen correctly, a trade didn't happen the way you were wanting it to in the financial world, or whatever the example is. But you know what? David's acting different than what a normal person would react to. Adam's acting different than a normal way, and it's because it's for a reason.
People have been saying that about me my whole life, but it's
not for that reason.
Something else, yeah.
Right, so I think that you have to be it's all about being intentional. Father Brian always. O'Brien, one of our good friends of the show, always talks about being an intentional Catholic, and the only way you take a broad aspect of being, you know, either pro-life or whatever these broad aspects are, the only way you can take that and make it a real thing is being intentional about it. So the only way we can make this broad topic of let's feast is be intentional about it.
Yeah. So that was part of my homily on Easter, actually, of yes, let's celebrate. But Easter's about something more than just, okay, I gave up all these things for Lent. Now I can just indulge in them. Be intentional about what you're doing. So I said, for example, and it's the main idea is to foster community with it. Don't just do these things on your own.
Mm.
So if you gave up Netflix, find some people and watch a movie together. If you gave up alcohol, go out to a bar with some friends and say, let's celebrate the resurrection together. If you gave up cigars, find some cigars and go out with a couple guys and smoke cigars. Whatever it is, or if you gave up sweets, don't just go and eat a bucket of ice cream yourself, but maybe make a dessert and share it with friends.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, that is such an important point, I think.
Even celebrating, in a family life,
it's you know, like, that's something I'll have to think about. Is it really a celebration if you're by yourself?
Yeah. So I say, what are you celebrating? Are you celebrating the resurrection or that it's not Lent?
Right. Yeah. Are you yes. celebrating the fact that, like, oh, I don't have to give this up anymore? I mean, or are you? Yeah, exactly. Or are you celebrating the resurrection? Yeah.
So recently, we just had the death of Saint John Paul the Great. Anniversary I can't remember, what was it, 2-3 years ago? I can't remember off the top of my head.
More than that.
Anybody?
It was like 7 or so.
Man, time flies. I'm getting old.
Oh, wait,
I guess.
Let's see. No, I was still a college student. It was like 10.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah, I mean, remember we had Benedict for several 10. Years.
Yeah, I was still a student at TU.
His death anniversary just happened, and as a family, we tried our best not to have 12? Okay.
We'll 12.
We confirm.
Maybe you're thinking, like,
it's divisible by
the anniversary of canonization is just a couple.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that's what I was. 13. Okay.
13.
So, but anyway, as a I say all that just to say, as a family, we tried our best to give up sweets throughout Lent, you know, even my children, you know. And so when the death anniversary happened, we made sure to have cookies and cake. But not just because it's a feast in and of itself, but because we have something to rejoice about. Yeah. And I got a chance to not only obviously have cake and cookies, but be able to talk to my kids about John Paul the Great.
Yeah.
That's an intentional thing.
Yeah, the feasting enhances our joy.
Yeah.
It isn't our joy.
Okay, but I want to kind of take this to the kind of the opposite end of the spectrum here. Because, like I was saying with the cookies, just they're there, and I'm like giving myself excuses to just, like, maybe overindulge in these phenomenal cookies. Okay, so how do we temper it? Temperate?
Exercise temperance.
How do we temper?
Temperate?
Temper? How do we temper?
Words are hard.
Words are hard. How do we temper our celebration in a way so that we maintain our discipline? You know, because we don't want to give up that, our spiritual rigor. We don't want to get lost in
indulgence.
Kind of carried away.
You don't want to lose what you've gained.
Right, exactly.
Because virtue builds on itself.
It does.
It's a habit. So one of the things Gerald said was, go to daily mass. Daily mass is an opportunity because you're participating in the ultimate feast.
Right.
Yes.
The wedding feast.
So, anything we do in life should help us get to heaven. It should help us in prayer. So if there's something that's keeping us from being able to be attentive in prayer or live a moral life, we shouldn't do it. So if eating 5 cookies makes me go home and not want to pray or not be able to pray, don't eat 5 cookies. If you can do that with 3 cookies, have 3 cookies, celebrate those 3 cookies, go home and pray.
Yeah.
You have to know where your limit is. And of course, we say moderation in everything. Even in Easter, doesn't mean like just go all heavyweights and pour chocolate sauce all over your face and eat until you throw up.
Not more than once.
Yeah, not more than once. Maybe once during the octave or something. No.
Right.
So celebrate, but still celebrate with a moderation. And knowing why are we celebrating? Because often if we overindulge, we're not celebrating Easter anymore. We're just celebrating whatever that material good is that is short-lived.
Yeah, so the key is not to just throw ourselves into a food lust or...
Mm-hmm. Well, we talk about this all the time, enjoying the finer things in life, enjoying God has created for its goodness. And the only way you can enjoy what God has created for its goodness is by using it by temperance, using it for what it is good for and not indulging in it.
And we just have a couple seconds, but Father, I really think the point you made about centering it around community, I think that really, eating cookies, are you celebrating this with each other, or are you just eating cookies because you want to give in to your
That's
cravings?
Why we're here tonight, to eat meat, lots of meat.
With each other.
Together.
Right.
Beautiful.
I don't think you can end, because we had bacon, I don't think you can end this episode any better than we ate bacon.
Happy Easter, y'all.
We ate bacon. Lord is risen.
Father, thank you so much for inviting us out here.
Truly he is risen.
Thanks indeed. For inviting us out here. Thanks for letting us hang out with you guys. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
The risen Jesus.
But not the liberal, crazy, risen Jesus.